we read the parable of the sower on Wednesday. Then yesterday we celebrated St. Mary Magdalene. So we skipped over a section on the parables, this chapter 13 of Matthew, the parables. And now we go back to the chapter on Matthew, and again we have the parable of the sower, this time the explanation of the parable. When Jesus explains a parable, it's a sign to us that this is really important. He doesn't want to risk that we will misinterpret it. So the parable tells us not only about the circumstances of the seed and the different kinds of soil, but also that there's a lot of seeds, because the sower is willing to take the risk of losing seeds or of planting seeds that won't bear any fruit, which is something no planter does. So he's talking about a divine mystery, not simply about planting. Now, the first reading is the Ten Commandments. So naturally, we would, in our pondering, take the Ten Commandments as seeds. These are seeds that are being planted in our heart. That's a legitimate way of pondering the word. And maybe we can get to that in a moment. But I'd like to remind you that the Lord's seeds are more than simply the words written in the Bible. The Lord speaks to us in many ways. In fact, he's speaking to us all the time, and many of the circumstances that are in our life are meant to be pondered or meant to be taken into the heart so that we learn the lessons. This is striking to me because in the last few days, so many things have happened. Well, this is the ninth day of the novena for Sister Barbara, so we're still going through the process of saying our goodbyes to Sister. Her remains are still here before the altar. That's a seed. It's a seed to reflect on the life and the death of Sister. But that last night, my goodness, we had lots of news, and it should make us all pause. The first surprise was the news about the parish suddenly locked down because of a COVID positive case among the staff, or at least somebody working at the parish. So now everybody who's working there or living there has to be quarantined, and the parish is locked down. Standard procedure, but still a surprise to suddenly have the parish shut down. And then a little while after that, we got the sad news about Jenolyn's father. I didn't see Jenolyn's here. Jenolyn's here. Our condolences to you, and your daughters are here too. We offer our condolences to you. It's really such a shock to hear that he died. Well, he died so quickly. So that's a seed to be planted. I'm not minimizing the experience of the family, but it's something for all of us. In fact, in the novena that we're praying, one of the prayers says, I can find it here. When we are in the presence of death or contemplating the experience of death, it should move us. Let our hearts, we pray, be deeply moved at this sight of death. While we consign the body of the deceased to the earth, let us be mindful of our frailty and mortality. So it's part of our prayer for 9 days, that when someone dies, we are reminded that we are all frail and mortal. So those two pieces of striking news are seeds for us. Then last night late, I had to make a phone call to the States on some community business. I was talking to a man who helps us, and he told me that his daughter her car was swept away in a flash flood. I said, what? Turns out she was okay, but she happened to be driving home from work, and the road had some water on it. She didn't know that it was a flash flood, and before she knew it, she was off the road. I don't know how she got out of the car. So that was the last thing I heard before I went to bed last night, that I said, my goodness, how could I ponder about the Ten Commandments when we're talking about life and death here? And we're still adjusting to the news about Dr. Perilla dying of COVID. In fact, last week, Sister Barbara died on Wednesday. Dr. Perilla died on Thursday, COVID-19. Friday, you didn't hear this, the mother of Monsignor Ramirez died. She was an old lady, though. She was 100 years old. But Monsignor Ramirez is instrumental in our being here in the Philippines. So his mother died. And Friday, that was Friday. Saturday was the funeral. Now we're hearing about the death of General Lin's father. Now, when I put it like that, it sounds like all the seeds are bad. That's wrong. That's a wrong interpretation. So I deliberately put it in the most negative way. But that is our tendency. When we hear bad news, we say, this is a bad seed. This is a bad thing that happened. I think that is a risky attitude, because the risk is that interpretation that everything that happens is bad can turn us into a footpath. It can harden us. And you know, people do this. They're afraid of COVID-19. They're afraid that the world is coming to an end. They're afraid that their loved ones are going to die. Well, the world will come to an end and we will all die. Is that going to stop us from trusting in the Lord? No. We have to see that what God scatters, the seeds that he scatters, are meant to bear fruit. They're meant to bear fruit. Even things that we experience as heavy losses, and actually are bad. I mean, they're like when injustices happen. We have to, in faith, see beyond the badness. St. Bridget, today's saint, is a great teacher on this. She pondered the Passion deeply. You know, her revelations on purgatory and on sufferings in purgatory and on eternal life. Well, the worst news of all is that we killed God, that we put Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, we put him to death. That's the worst news that could happen. Yesterday we honored St. Mary Magdalene. She was weeping at the tomb. Jesus was dead and his body was taken away. The worst possible thing. Worse than any of the things I just mentioned. And yet, God turned the worst thing into the best thing. This is at the very heart of Christianity. He turned death into a way to eternal life. He turned Mary Magdalene's sorrow into the joy of the news of the resurrection. I have seen the Lord, she says. And she says when she becomes the apostle to the apostles, I have seen the Lord. And it's not that I saw his body, I found his body. He found me, he's alive. That's Christianity. Well, even think of the things that I mentioned, the seeds that I mentioned that sound so terrible. First of all, the death of Sister Barbara. Can we really say that's bad news? I mean, Sister lived a long and very fruitful life, and that's why we're all here. And we give thanks for her more than we mourn. We are actually grateful. And her death was very beautiful. She died shortly after receiving the sacraments, shortly after a mass here for the grace of a happy death. And she was surrounded by people who love her and were taking care of her, who were praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy while she died. And there was even a live video hookup to all her good friends in the States. It's a kind of a textbook case of how to die. How much better can you make it? So don't think that everything is bad news. That was she was not in pain. She died peacefully. Went straight to heaven. What? Do we have any complaints about Sister Barbara's death? I don't think we can. If we do, we're a footpath, or we're a thorny. We're thorny ground. We're letting the anxieties and fears and concerns about worldly things choke off the word. Don't let that happen. It's the message of today's parable. Don't let things choke off or prevent or scorch the life of the word. Even the lockdown. This was one of the shocks last night. Suddenly the parish is locked down. COVID-19 has invaded us again. We don't need any more reminders that we're still in a pandemic. Dr. Carilia just died of COVID-19. So now the parish is locked down. Well, yes, that is bad news. And certainly when we pray for our parish staff and the priests, but nobody's in the hospital, there's not no severe cases. As far as we know, there's only one positive case, and the symptoms aren't even very severe. So most of the bad news is that this is preventive measures, this is safety protocol, so that the parish doesn't become a hotbed of spreading the virus. So it's bad, but let's look at the positive side. At least we know what to do. In fact, these protocols have been in place for a year already, what to do when there's a case in a parish. But Philam was shut down last year, remember? This has happened. And the thing to do is be prudent, quarantine, disinfect everything, take care of the sick, and go on. So, and that's the seed. Even the sad news about your father, your grandfather, it's sad. But death is the way to life, and we have to keep grasping this. A gentleman told me last night that even though his death was sudden, it wasn't so sudden that he didn't have a chance to make peace. Someone was praying with him just before he died, and he was smiling. So that's at least a little, I don't know the details, but at least that part is very encouraging. God wanted to take him home, but he didn't take him so suddenly that he didn't have a chance to prepare. So, but in this Mass, we're praying for his eternal rest, for sure. Even that story of the flash flood. I know we've heard a lot about floods, that we've been in a typhoon here. There's lots of flooding. Lots of people suffered. I don't know how many deaths here in the Philippines, but have you heard about those floods in Germany? Hundreds of people. I mean, there's a lot of people dying. So when I was talking to my friend last night, friend of our community last night, and he said his daughter swept away in a flood. I said, my goodness. But then he said, well, somehow she got out of the car, and she was able to get to dry land. She walked to a farmhouse nearby, and they took care of her. The car is completely ruined. I don't even know if they can get it out of the ditch, but she's saved. In fact, she's not even hurt. So that's good news. This woman was saved from a flood. A lot of people die in floods. She wasn't. Let's give thanks. And these are seeds. These are all seeds. I can't help but think of my experience last week. Sister Barbara died on Wednesday. We started the week Thursday. On Friday, I had a wedding. I had to celebrate a wedding, a very joyful, beautiful event. And it's a COVID wedding. I mean, people are all in masks and they're all spread out. It's only about 30 people, and they're in a church that holds 1,000. But a very beautiful event. And I thank that couple, that young couple. I said, thank you for getting married in the middle of a pandemic. Thank you for testifying to the hope that you have, that you want to, that you believe in the future. You're not giving up. But a lot of people cancel their weddings, wedding plans, or postpone them indefinitely. This couple said, no, why wait? Why wait around until the pandemic is over? That's not God's will. Let's start a new life. Let's start a new family. We'll be faithful to each other in good times and bad, in sickness and in health. That's life. And I said to them, you are a seed of hope for all of us. Your wedding testifies to us that we trust in God, that we trust in the power of love. It's a seed. You see what I'm doing? I'm taking the parable and I'm translating it into the current, the experiences of the last few days. We can do the same with the commandments. So we can take the commandments and say, these are seeds. Now, you know that people look at the Ten Commandments as bad seeds, as if God were putting some burden on us or restricting our freedom in an unfair way. Who has got to tell us not to steal, not to lie, not to commit adultery and all these things? Well, that's the attitude of a footpath, to think that there's something wrong with the commandments. The commandments are a great treasure. Do we have to be told not to commit adultery? Do we have to be told not to kill? Well, yes, we do have to be told. Is that a bad thing? I don't know any married people who think it's a bad commandment. Except those who are who are tempted to commit adultery. Those are the very people who need to be told, do not do it. But most people already know that that's a terrible thing. So these are seeds of life, not seeds of death. Seeds that protect precious values, the value of faithful marriage, the value of honoring our father and our mother, the value of a person's good name, the value of human life. You shall not kill. Human life is precious, so precious that God takes it to himself. Again, I'm thinking of Johnny, your father. God takes him home. Sister Barbara, God took her home. Dr. Perilla, God took him home. But life is a great gift, and the commandment, you shall not kill, is to preserve that gift. So we have the commandments as indicators of what is precious, as guardians of what is precious. This was the point Pope Francis made in that series we studied last year. All the commandments are to help us identify the precious values of first of all, of worship of God. The most precious one we have is God himself, and then of the things of God, honoring his name, honoring his day, and then honoring our parents, protecting life, protecting marriage, protecting the dignity of the human person. Precious seeds that, if they fall on good ground, bear much fruit. So the bottom line is, of course, be good ground, be good soil, be fruitful. Be fruitful for the kingdom. Don't let hardness of heart and shallowness of interpretation of the hardships of life and the distractions of money and worldly concerns, don't let these things prevent the word from being planted deeply and from growing and bearing much fruit.